All right. Hey, well, today we're starting a brand new series called Say Yes. And the point of the series is not to manipulate you into saying yes that you don't want to, so something you don't want to say yes to. But we're going to be talking about some big things that I think Jesus wants you to be part of in your life. And so to get this series kicked off, let me ask you this question. I want you to think about this. What is the craziest, maybe the riskiest, most adventurous thing you've ever said yes to being part of? You thinking about it? What's the craziest, maybe the most riskiest, the most adventurous thing you've ever said yes to being part of? I can think of so many examples at so many different levels in my life, but since we just saw a video on roller coasters, let me just tell you, thinking about roller coasters, when I was in college, I was involved in ministry, and I decided to go and be a chaperone for our youth group as we went on a trip. You know how being a chaperone is. It's kind of like being the substitute teacher, right? They only listen to you like less than half the time, right? So I was going to be a chaperone, and we went on a trip to Valdosta. We were passing through Valdosta, and we decided that we were going to go to Wild Adventures theme park. And at Wild Adventures theme park, it was going to be a lot of fun, but it was 100 degrees outside, literally that day. And so we were burning up. The teenagers were complaining a little bit, and, you know, I couldn't give one of those suck it up buttercup talks because I was hot too. But anyway, we went to Wild Adventures, and my group decided that in order to cool down, they wanted to go and ride on one of the water rides. There's a few water rides there. And we decided to go on this water ride that where basically you get in this massive raft where you can fit like 10 people in it. And what I didn't know, I thought it sounded good getting wet, but what I didn't know is that this ride spun over and over and over as you're going down the water slide. And I can do a lot of things, but the spinny stuff is not my cup of tea. You know, if you've ever been to Disney World, they have that the Mr. Toad's Wild Ride that spins you round and round. I can't do that. And so it spun me round and round and round. Remember, it's really hot outside. And so I started getting dizzy, started getting sick to my stomach. But I was like, pull it together. You're the chaperone, you know? So anyway, as soon as we got off that ride, already feeling a little weak, one of the teenage guys, of course, it's always the guys, he was like, hey, dude, let's go ride the craziest, most, you know, the biggest roller coaster in the park. He pointed at it and says, let's do that. And I was like, I mean, I can't be a lame college student and act like I can't handle a roller coaster. And so I said, yes. I said yes. And so we rode the ride and we went up and down, and it's one of those that twists and twirls kind of like this. And I don't know if it was this one or another one, but it was one where you go all over the place. And after we got off the ride, let's just say I lost my lunch in the bushes right outside of the entrance of that ride. And it was like a script from a movie, though. There was this 10, 11, 12-year-old boy that was getting ready to get on the ride, and he came up to me, and he was like, dude, did you just throw up? I was like, yeah. And he looked at me with all sincerity, and he said, awesome. And he took off to experience it too. He wanted to say yes, right? I was thinking another example. I was in I went on a ski trip to Breckenridge, Colorado. How many of you ever skied in Colorado before? Beautiful place. But anyway, we were in Breckenridge, Colorado. I'd never been there before. That was my only time. But we were skiing down the slopes, and it's known for having amazing slopes there. We were skiing down, and we were kind of feeling good about ourselves. We thought, you know, we've got this. Like, we've got this skiing thing down. And so I guess I was being a little daring in the moment. I'm a pretty good skier. And so I told my dad and my brother, they were with me, and I said, hey, let's go to the top of the mountain, very similar to that teenage boy. Let's go to the top of the mountain, and let's ski down that double black diamond. It was like a badge of honor. And for some reason, they all said yes, right? So anyway, it all seemed like a good idea until we got to the very top of the slope, and we started looking out. And here's the top peak. You take the Imperial Express super chair, and it is literally the highest chairlift in North America. Man, have you ever been on a diving board before? And it looks good from down below, but when you get up top, it's like, whoa, what was I thinking? Yeah, it was one of those experiences. But we were on top of a mountain, right? So anyway, it was one of those things where we were so high and it was so steep that you really couldn't, like, it was pretty much, it was all downhill. And so there was not really any place to kind of take a break and look at the scenery. You know, there's this one little spot, but then it's just straight down, it looks like. But even scarier, there's this part, like, at the very beginning where it's maybe 20, 30 feet wide, and then there's, like, a little teeny tiny fence, a little one, and then just a cliff that falls off the mountain, and a cliff that falls off the mountain. And I remember thinking, like, we're going to die. Like, this is not good. This is how it's all going to end. I need to call my wife and kids, right? And it's one of those things where you can't go slow, you know? You can't go slow. The mountain won't let you. So we just had to trust our legs and go for it. And we did. And we went down, and it was awesome. We got to the bottom, and we were high-fiving, and we were celebrating, partially because we had just accomplished something awesome, right? We went to the top of the mountain, and we skied Breckenridge, baby. But also, on the other hand, we were so thankful that we were still alive. But it was awesome, and we never would have experienced it if we didn't say yes. So over the next few weeks, what we're going to be doing is I want us to talk about, in a spiritual sense, and even in your life, five big things that I believe Jesus wants you and me to say yes to. And when Jesus asks something from us, when he wants us to say yes to something, it's not because he wants something from us, it's because he wants something for us. And so we're going to look at these five key things that Jesus invites us to say yes to so that we can experience the abundant life and really the adventure that I believe Jesus is calling all of us, the adventure that Jesus is calling all of us to be a part of. Helen Keller once said this famous quote. I want you to check it out. She said this: life is either a daring adventure or it is nothing at all. I love that motto, right? Life is a daring adventure or it's nothing at all. In other words, don't sit back on the sidelines in life. Go for it. Go for it. And there's been a whole lot of adults who have gone for it, right? Went jumping off of bridges and doing crazy stuff, like the redneck motto, watch this, you know, and something crazy happens. But I think most of us, most people in the world fall into one of two categories when it comes to adventure in their lives. I think most of us are either play it safers or risk takers. Most of us are either play it safers or risk takers. I want you to think about what category you might fall into. I wonder maybe over the course of time if some of that has changed in you. You're a play it safer or a risk taker. You know, the older and wiser I get, physically speaking, I find myself becoming a little bit more of a play it safer. I can't jump as high and run as fast as I used to, and so I tend to kind of be nervous about getting hurt. I don't do crazy stuff like I used to when I was a teenager. And in fact, when I'm leading the games during our Extreme Games kids camp, I'm not as fun as I used to be. I used to, like, try to push the limits and make kids eat, like, pudding out of diapers and stuff like that, right? But now I'm, like, thinking about all the, yeah, some of you are like, that's gross. I know, right? The play it safer in me is saying, like, what was I thinking? Now I look at all the different ways that somebody can get hurt, and the parents say, thank you, God, right? But what I found, spiritually speaking, is the opposite. Spiritually speaking, the older and wiser I get when it comes to my faith, I find that I'm becoming more and more of a risk taker, spiritually. In fact, because as I've trusted Jesus more and more, as I've been walking with Jesus more and more, what I've realized is that no obstacle is too big, no challenge is too big, no adventure is too big for what God can do in you and what God can do through you. In fact, some of the greatest things that I've experienced in my life is when I said yes to Jesus for something that was so much bigger than me, for something that was so much bigger than me, and I got to hang on for dear life and say, okay, Jesus, you're going to have to take this, and I'm going to follow you. And it's one of those things that when it comes to the purpose of the church, when it comes to reaching people for Jesus, man, I couldn't agree more with Helen Keller. Life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing at all. Let's go big or let's go home. We have one life to live and there's people who need Jesus, right? And so today I want us to zero in on a story about Jesus that will really cause us all, I believe, to evaluate where our hands are on the rail. I think it's a story where maybe, just maybe, we'll be able to pry our hands off the rail of security throw our hands in the air, throw caution to the wind, and join Jesus on the adventure that he's calling us to, an adventure of a lifetime of following him. So why don't we go ahead and turn to that, Matthew chapter 4. This is the first invitation, the first say yes thing we're talking about today. Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 18. Here's what it says. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me. That's the invitation. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Then we get to another scene. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And so we've looked at this story before as a church. This is the calling of the first disciples. This may be a familiar story with you, and if it's not, praise God. It's going to be, as Andy said, we pray that you'll receive it like it's your first time, right? But I want to highlight three words here that I think oftentimes we overlook in this passage. Here's the three words are this, is at once and immediately. At once and immediately. I mean, it's fascinating to me when I look at this, that Peter and Andrew, the scripture says Peter and Andrew at once left their nets to follow Jesus. Like at once, no delay, like they just did it. And then it says that James and his brother John, the scripture says, immediately left their nets and their father, like they left their family to go follow Jesus. Now let's be honest, that's crazy, right? Sometimes we don't realize, sometimes we think that, you know, the Bible stories are just kind of tame and everybody just followed Jesus. And the thing is, we have the ability of hindsight. We can read stories about the disciples and we can know, of course, they would follow him because, I mean, you know, he healed the sick and clothed the naked and helped people so many ways. And he died on the cross and rose for our sins. And these became the 12 disciples. Of course, they would say yes. These guys didn't know that. They didn't know that if they took a step of faith to trust Jesus, that Jesus would come through in so many different ways. So put yourself in these guys' shoes. They didn't, it was so crazy because the scripture gives us this sense that there was no hesitation. They just went. It's like it was bold and it was daring and it was this scary probably. But they believed somehow by faith that if they followed Jesus, that it would be worth it. And I think as they made that decision in that very short moment to say yes to Jesus, they were having to process two important realities that I like to call the call and the cost. They were having to process this at the same time, both the call and the cost. Now, any time Jesus invites us to say yes to something, to go somewhere, to do something, to become even something, some way, to use us, he's inviting us in a lot of ways to do two things at the same time. Walk towards something, that's the call, to walk towards something, and at the same time, it means that walking away from something else, right? To turn towards something and to turn away from something else, that's the cost. And so let's start with the call. Let's start with the call for these disciples. I want you to think about these guys. I've said before, these guys would have looked like the men from Deadliest Catch. You know, they were fishermen. These were rough and tough dudes, you know? And Jesus, here he comes, he's giving these fishermen an opportunity of a lifetime to follow him and to learn how to fish for people. Now remember, as fishermen, they fish for fish, and it was great. I mean, everything was about the next big catch. Everything was about, you know, I got to feed my family. And every single day they would go out hoping to be able to provide for themselves, hoping to be able to have the acceleration of the next catch. But Jesus was inviting them to say yes to a bigger purpose, wasn't he? Like, he's like, look, what I'm inviting you to be part of, I know you've been fishing for fish your whole life, but I want to invite you to spend your life fishing for people. Translation, what Jesus is saying to these guys is I want to show you how to love people like they've never been loved before in a way that only God can do. And I want to empower you, I want to enable you to be able to love people beyond anything you can do with your own capacity. Come follow me and I'll show you how to do it. They left everything, and they followed him. And the same invitation, the same adventure is what Jesus calls all of us to be part of. In fact, if you were to look at the four Gospels, they're in we call them the Gospels, where pertaining to Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are four eyewitness accounts where we learn about Jesus. It's four different people telling their point of view from the story. If you look at all of those, you'll see two trends of who Jesus spent time with and how he spent his time. On the one hand, you see that Jesus had about 10 encounters with people in the temple and the synagogue. On the one hand, 10 encounters with people in the temple and the synagogue, just 10. And it's interesting because we would think that Jesus is such a religious dude. Maybe he should be hanging out in the church and hanging out in the temple, doing all the religious stuff in religious places. But most of these 10 encounters with people, they were usually confrontational in nature. They was usually Jesus confronting religious people for being legalistic. Like, quit being so legalistic. He was usually confronting them about their own pride or just going through the motions of faith. And he's like, look, it's not about just doing the stuff and checking the box. You've got to connect your heart to God. And so he confronted them a lot about that a lot of the religious people had lost sight of God's heart for people. And so many times they would value legalism and value rules, and they would kind of push aside people. And Jesus is like, that's not who God is. But on the other hand, number two, that Jesus had 120 encounters about in other places. 120 encounters with people in other places. And so Jesus met with people wherever they were, in their homes, in their businesses. He met with people along the streets and mountainsides. There's a Sermon on the Mount. And he had several encounters where he's literally like on top of the lake, whether he's in a boat or walking on top of the water, right? So he talked with people in so many different places. And all of those encounters, in some way, what was Jesus doing? He was helping people. He was helping people. I mean, Jesus helped people who were blind to be healed and people who were paralyzed to be healed. And he even took people who were dead and he raised them to life. That's crazy. He helped prostitutes and lepers, people who were entwined in big sins, people who had a really sketchy past that thought, man, with everything that I've done in my life, I don't even have a future. And Jesus said, no, come follow me and I'll show you a future, you know? And so Jesus' mission was clear. Here's what he said about his mission in Matthew chapter 9. This is New Living Translation, verse 12 and 13. He said this, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. For I have come to call not those who are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. You know who that is? It's all of us. It's all of us. Jesus came for people. So if your heart is bent toward God, if your heart is bent toward realizing that you need God, Jesus is saying, this invitation is for you. Come follow me. And so let me explain it like this. Let me ask you this. Is there somebody in the room that would like a free $5 bill? Anybody would like a free $5 bill? This is like no strings attached, okay? Good. All right. So BB, we can connect about that. All right. There's this no strings attached. You don't have to like eat anything or like do something weird. But here's the thing. Let me ask you this. If I were to crumble this dollar bill up, if I were to like, you know, put it down and smash it on the ground, you know, if I were to rub it on my armpit, you know, whatever, or maybe like, you know, wipe my nose with it, would you still want $5? You wouldn't? I think you would. You know, here's the thing. How many of you would want $5? Oh, let's say if it's $100, would you still want the bill? Okay. Some of us, $5 is like a penny, right? So if it was $100, would you still want it? Yeah, you would, right? You'd still want it because the condition of the bill doesn't change the value of the bill. I think it was the snot that got you, right? No, I'm good, right? I'll take my $5 somewhere else, right? The condition of the bill doesn't change the value of the bill. In other words, it doesn't matter what's happened to the bill, whether it's new or old, clean or dirty, it doesn't change its value. So I'll give you the $5 here in a little bit. So when Jesus touched a person who had leprosy, what he was saying was similar to what that bill example was. What he's saying is, look, your value isn't determined by what's happened to you or by the disease you carry. When Jesus ate with prostitutes and other people, he was saying, look, your value isn't determined by your occupation, and it's not determined by what you've did in the past. In other words, here's kind of the big idea, is that the condition of a person's life doesn't determine the value of a person's life. The condition of a person's life doesn't determine the value of a person's life. And that's why I believe these four fishermen, they left everything. They threw down their nets and they said, I'm in. Like, I'm in. Like, if you're going to love me like that, if you're going to teach me to love people like that, if you're going to take me on an adventure of what it means to follow you, like, yes, I want to be part of that. And so they responded to the call, and today we're still telling their story of the adventure that they experienced of what Jesus did in their lives over the next 3 years. But I think for some reason today, a lot of people think that following Jesus means that you live a boring life. I remember when I was in the seventh grade, when I was about to surrender my life to Jesus and to say, I want to follow you, Jesus, that night when I was discerning, am I in? Do I want to say yes? Just to be honest, my seventh grade mind, I was thinking, you know what? I don't want my life to be over yet. There's still a lot of fun that I want to have. So maybe I need to live it up and do a few more things that are a little bit crazy in my life and then come to Jesus, right? Because what I had in my mind is maybe what many of you do, is that maybe following Jesus means living this boring, restricted life, you know? This safe and predictable life inside the walls of a place that we sometimes call the church, right? But it's one of those things, if for those people who followed Jesus, it was never boring and it was never safe, right? It was this adventure of a lifetime. I think sometimes in the church, churches are sometimes boring, right? Sometimes churches are boring, but Jesus isn't boring. And this is why we as a church, we've kind of said, you know what, we want to make sure with all of our power that we make sure that this church isn't a place where people say, wow, that was so boring. And they think that God is boring. But we try to do church in a way that's fun and challenging and inspiring so that you can become all that God wants you to be. Following Jesus was never boring for the disciples. But I think sometimes today we've reduced following Jesus to just, you know, coming to church every once in a while. Sometimes we've reduced following Jesus to just, you know, maybe just praying a prayer or trying to be a good person. Boring, right? But Jesus was constantly inviting people into an adventure and into the adventure of loving people that Jesus died for. Gary Hogman, is an attorney in the United States, and part of what he loves to do, he's passionate about helping rescue people who are part of human trafficking. And in a speech a couple years ago, here's what he said when it comes to this stuff. Here's what he said. He said, after we have poured into our children all the good food and shelter and clothing, after we have provided them with great education, discipline, structure, and love, after we have worked so hard to provide every good thing, they turn to us and ask, why have you given all this to me? And the honest answer for me is, so you'll feel safe. And my kid looks up to me and says, really? That's it? You want me to be safe? Your grand ambition for my life is that nothing bad happens? Like, that's not fun. And he says, and I think something inside of them dies. He says, they either go away to perish in safety, or they go away looking for adventure in the wrong places. Here's the key. Jesus, on the other hand, affirms their sense of adventure and their yearning for larger glory. We're all called to be about God's glory, something bigger than ourselves, and to advance God's kingdom. That's the adventure God invites us to be part of. He wants you to experience that, what it really looks like to follow Jesus. And I want you to experience that adventure too. I want you to experience letting Jesus help you to become all that he created you to be, and taking calculated risks to run toward the people Jesus loves, to love them back. And that's one of the reasons why next week we're doing the Splash Bash. You may have heard Mandy talk about that. We're hosting a Splash Bash event next week. The reason we're doing that is not because it's just a lot of fun. because it is, right? The reason we're doing it is not because there's going to be a 19-foot water slide and yummy food truck and we're going to have a great time as a church. That's good. The reason we're doing it is because we believe in building bridges to help connect people to Jesus. And the truth is, this what we believe with the Splash Bash is that there are people that are waiting for an invitation. There are people who are waiting to experience the life that's available in Jesus that are in your spheres of influence. And what we wanted to do is we want to partner with you to help build a bridge to the people in your life that you already love, that you already want them to be connected to Jesus. Maybe there's people that you know who they are Christian, but they are not even a part of a church. Praise God. We want to help you to create a bridge so that you can easily invite people to come be a part of what God is doing here. And here's the thing. Once they're here, we have seen over and over and over how Jesus has worked in people's lives. And so next week, I want you to be thinking about, this week, I want you to be thinking about who can you bring with you next week? Who can you bring with you to church next week? Come bring them to church, and then we'll have our Splash Bash after the 11 o'clock service, and it's going to be fun, and if they've got kids, perfect, right? And we're going to have a lot of fun as a church family. But we always want to be a church that loves everybody so well here, but just like Jesus, is never gets so focused on just who's here now. We always want to be a church that has open arms and open doors for anyone, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus was always going out into the countryside, going out in the community, and bringing people in to experience what God can do within the body of Christ, the church. And so I want to challenge you, I want to invite you to help be a part of that adventure of what God might be wanting to do in somebody's life around you. But I want you to remember, so that was the call, right? Come follow me, and I'll teach you to fish for people. But remember, the disciples also had to wrestle with the cost. It cost them something. In order to say yes to walk with Jesus, they had to walk away from something else. They had to walk away from the old, safe, maybe predictable life they were living. It meant that they had to leave their nets. They had to leave their boats. Have you ever, just imagine this, because, you know, we're not fishermen, most of us. Just imagine leaving your car on 85 and walking somewhere else to go follow Jesus. This is the idea, right? This meant they were leaving behind something of great value for them. They just left it behind in order to go follow Jesus. And the boats and the net, that represented their income. They left all that behind, throwing caution to the wind and saying, Jesus, you notice what they didn't ask. They didn't say, Jesus, if we follow you, are we going to be okay? Notice they didn't say, Jesus, if we follow you, how are we going to provide for ourselves? How are we going to be able to manage everything? How will we have enough? They didn't ask that question. But every day as they followed Jesus, they found that he was enough. They found that God provided for them, and they saw Jesus do amazing things in their life. They left their family and friends and the life as they knew it. It represents this, you know, taking the hands off the rail, almost like this complete surrender, placing all of their life in Jesus' hands. But when they followed after Jesus, they found the abundant life, they found purposeful living, and they experienced the adventure that all of us were wired for, that all of us were made for. I think a lot of times today, we think that following Jesus is just a one-time decision. Sometimes we think that following Jesus is, we prayed a prayer a long time ago at an altar, at a church, or at a kids camp, or at some kind of camp experience. I know for me, that was mine in the seventh grade. A lot of times we think that it's a momentary thing, or maybe following Jesus means we go to church occasionally, we bring our family, right? But following Jesus is really about a relationship. When Mandy and I moved here to plant this church, the biggest thing that we said is we want real people to see that Jesus is real and can have a real impact in real lives today. Like, we want you to not experience a church and to be so in love with church. Like, we want you to be in love with Jesus. And we want you to love the church because it's the body in which Jesus works to do his work in the world. And it's how Jesus empowers people to do that. And so, but here's the thing. Following Jesus was always about a relationship. It's where you open your life to God every day. And you get to walk forward with God, just like Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden and talked with him. Like, this is the invitation Jesus invites us to be a part of, to follow him wherever he leads you every single day. And so when you wake up, it's one of those things where you're daily, daily getting to just kind of surrender your own insecurities, and it's an opportunity to walk forward on an adventure with Jesus. Now, let me ask you this question. What would it look like for you in this season to follow Jesus like never before? This is where I want us to go in this series. What would it look like for you in this season to follow Jesus with bold faith like never before? What would that look like in your life? I know some of you may be thinking, well, it's one of those things where you may be thinking, well, I don't even know if I believe in Jesus, so like I don't know. Like I don't know what that means. Maybe for some of you, you're like, I don't know if I like church is even my thing, right? I don't know. What would it look like to follow Jesus like never before? For some of you, maybe your next bold step would be to come back to church and keep getting around the things of God and what Jesus wants to do in your life and be open to the reality that maybe, just maybe, this Jesus is real. And maybe, just maybe, if Jesus is real, if he died on the cross and rose from the grave, that maybe Jesus can make a real impact in my real life today. Will you be open to that? I mean, maybe for some of you today, what it means to follow Jesus like never before, to have bold faith like never before, is instead of just waking up and going to work and going about your day, maybe it means that you're entering into a real daily relationship with Jesus. Maybe it means that you get up and you talk with Jesus in prayer. Say, Jesus, I'm really worried about this today. Jesus, what do you want me to do today as I go into the office? You know, and you just begin to talk with Jesus in prayer and let Jesus speak in your life. Maybe it means you get in the Word and learn about who Jesus is like never before. Or what if you decided that when God leads you somewhere, or when God starts stretching you through a circumstance or through something, you know, or maybe he's stretching you in a new way, calling you somewhere, what if you decided to take a bold step to follow him there, to walk forward and to say yes, whatever it means and whatever it costs? Or what if Jesus begins to nudge you even this week? What if he begins to call you to take a risk, to maybe invite somebody to church, or maybe to run toward people that Jesus is calling you to love in a new way? What if we didn't just sit on the sidelines and passively say, well, that would be nice, but I can't, I won't? What if we decided this week, this month, this year, that we would say yes? I think if you'll take that journey with us as a church, if you're open to what God wants to do in your life throughout this series, in this season, I believe that Jesus wants to do big things in your life and big things through your life. He wants to use you. But in order to experience all of that adventure, we have to be willing to say yes. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the awesome opportunity, the call and the invitation to follow you, the call and the invitation to run after all that you are and all that you want for our lives. And our prayer, God, is that we would be able to count the cost, but we would run after the call. That, God, whenever you call us into something, you also call us to run from something else. And maybe for some of us today, that's our first step, is to turn away from our way of living and to turn toward your way of living. Instead of running with our own power and trying to be good enough and do enough good things in order to earn some acceptance with you, to realize that your grace is enough. Your grace has enabled us to have a relationship with you. And so maybe, Jesus, today, the invitation for some of us is just throw our hands off the rail of security and to say, Jesus, I want a relationship with you. God, I pray that today that you would help us to enter into this season as we launch into the fall, that we begin to follow you in a relationship, a daily walk like we've never done before. And I pray that you would challenge us and encourage us, and I pray you would lead us places and to do things and to become even more of who you've created us to be. God, would you stretch us? Would you mold us? Would you help us to realize that you don't call us on a boring, predictable life, but you call us to follow you and to experience you doing in us and through us things that we never could ask or imagine. We give this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.